So Emily, is that co-host function working?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm still seeing this host disabled participant screen sharing. Oh, I got it. Cool. And I assume this is being recorded. It looks like it's already being recorded. Okay.
Yep.
Should I go ahead and share?
Yeah, we're going
to. Do you want to do it?
We have some procedures that we have to go through first, but are we on Granicus now?
We're live.
Okay.
Okay. We're recording. We're live.
This is the call of the Urban Renewal Agency for the City of Newport to order for the September 7th, 2021 meeting. Roll call, please.
Here.
Councillor Botello?
Here.
Councillor Goebel?
Here.
Councillor President Hall?
Here.
Councillor Parker?
Here.
Councillor Jacoby?
She's excused.
And Mayor Sawyer?
Excused as well. All right, the first order of business is item number two, public comment. Do we have any public comment for the Urban Renewal Agency?
There are no public comments that we have, so.
Okay, moving on. Number three is the consent calendar. So I guess we need a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of July 15th, 2021.
I move to approve the consent calendar.
Second. Councillor Collette beat me.
Okay, so the motion was brought to us by Councillor Goebel and seconded by Councillor Collette. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Unanimously approved. All right, then. Executive Director's Report. Take it away, Derek.
Yeah, I'll give a brief introduction and then turn it over to Derek. Basically, we have two sessions that we're going to be doing on the South Beach US 101 Refinement Plan. The first is tonight, when we're going to be talking about some of the findings from the survey, and we'll have a presentation from our consultants on that. The second meeting will be on September 20th, and on that one, we're going to be focusing very narrowly on the 2.3-acre parcel owned by the agency. So one of the things that we would ask is not to spend a whole lot of time on that tonight, because that's going to be the sole purpose of our meeting coming up in 2 weeks. Just one other note on September 20th, we'll provide an update on the electric vehicle charging stations. We've been making progress on defining the initial concepts and want to run that by the agency to make sure we're on the right pathway. And so that's a second item that we'll be talking about on September 20th. But at this point, Derek, why don't you take it away?
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development. And with us tonight is Emily Pica and Lorelei Juntanen, and I hope I pronounced that right, with Echo Northwest. Just one thing I'd add with respect to the next meeting, in addition to a discussion about the 2.3-acre property, we'll be delving into finances in a little bit more detail in terms of what the actual available funding will be for this final phase. We've had estimates up to this point. We're going to try to pin that down a little bit for that discussion. But for this meeting, what we have are three items. I hope you had a chance to at least glance through those materials. One is the results of the online survey that we did. We had a pretty good response of 312 responses on that. And then we had a couple of focus group meetings as well. So we're gonna Emily's gonna kind of run through that survey, then touch on a number of the project concepts and how those concepts can be weighed and prioritized. And there's a memo that kind of outlines that. And then the last item would be survey questions for the next and kind of final round of outreach as part of this project. And would very much appreciate your thoughts on the direction those questions are going, or if those questions could be supplemented or enhanced. So with that, I'm gonna turn this over to Emily.
Hi, everybody. Emily Pico with Echo Northwest. I'm going to share my screen here. And okay. So today, yep, I think Derek just went over all this stuff, but talking about our stakeholder interviews and our survey to date, and talking about the initial project list that we put together and some initial thinking that we've done about selection criteria. And then the final piece is discussing our goals for the next and final round of outreach. We're on a pretty accelerated timeline right now with the plan. We are hoping to finalize this by November, so we're definitely in the thick of the project right now. So we are first going to go over a timeline, review the results of the survey, talk about potential projects, discuss survey number two, and then talk about next steps and have a discussion.
Just real quick, is everybody seeing the slides okay on in the council chambers?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Great. So we've been working on this project since March, and the main pieces we put together so far are an opportunities and constraints report. The last document that you have in your packet is a pretty lengthy memo looking at different project concepts and evaluating those project concepts. We have done a pretty robust public engagement so far. We've had a survey, we've had two focus groups, one with the South Beach community and the other with a kind of marine focus group. And coming up, we've got another survey and likely another couple interviews to round out our engagement. So we're right in the middle of the project right now. We are working on the land use code audit. You should be able to see the results of that pretty soon. And we're prioritizing the projects and thinking about those and working on the 35th site. So you should expect to see a draft of this plan in October and finalizing it in November and early December. Well, late November is our plan. Let me just move my video over here. So the findings from the survey really echoed a lot of what we heard in our focus group so far, that people really want to see greater retail and service and food options in South Beach. They don't like going over the bridge. They want to be able to walk in some cases to those options. And there's also a lot of people that are visiting the area that would like to access food options and people that live south of town that don't want to have to go across the bridge. The other piece that we heard was people want to see a sense of place in South Beach. They see other neighborhoods in Newport with really more of an identity, and they would like to see more of that in South Beach. They would like a cohesive, water-oriented identity that also reflects some of the existing attractions that are in the area, like the Aquarium and Rogue and Hatfield Center and South Beach State Park. The other piece that we heard, the third piece, loud and clear, was that people want increased connectivity for cyclists and pedestrians. There is a robust bike path network in the area, but it feels a little fragmented. People use it, but they feel like they can't get to all the destinations that they want to easily. And there's also not a lot of services for people that are using the path network. So people see that as kind of an economic development and recreational development opportunity. Let's see what is going on. In terms of the types of services and retail, top one was a specialty grocer. People have thrown out all types of names of potential grocery stores like Trader Joe's or Natural Grocers or some of the other Market of Choice, other types of smaller grocers that are around Oregon. But in general, people want to be able to buy basic groceries in South Beach and also have some grab-and-go options. Gas station, everyone's having to go across the bridge to get gas. And the third piece was restaurants and cafes. I would say in the survey, was surprising number of people wanted to see food carts and more informal dining options. And so that's some of the stuff we're going to be exploring for the 35th site. In terms of placemaking investments, bike paths and sidewalks, basically improving the connections at where there are gaps, and then also creating spaces that have kind of a, you know, gathering space options. So places to sit down, places to get, you know, drink of water, park your bike. So that's some of the other pieces that we heard in the survey. The two focus groups, one was the Marine Science Focus Group. It was pretty small. It was actually a focus group. We had a lot of conversation with just that group. Talked a lot about the tsunami assembly areas and increasing connectivity to those. We also talked about healthcare, that students at Hatfield aren't able to access healthcare, and that's a barrier, especially a lot of them don't have cars. They want to see increased pedestrian connections so that people don't have to get in their cars all the time to drive to destinations within South Beach. and they would like to see better trail connections to South Beach State Park. And we also heard this at the general workshop as well. That was one of the main connections that people wanted to see, was to be able to go directly into South Beach State Park and really do a loop on their bike. In terms of themes for some of the placemaking improvements, marine-based is pretty much like was the common theme we heard across all of our outreach, was water-based and marine themes to reflect the location of South Beach. At the general workshop, people wanted to prioritize projects that would improve traffic flow in the area, and also talked about building resiliency. We talked a little bit about the Yaquina Bay redundant pipeline and the importance of that. And then again, a specialty grocer on the 35th site was a popular option, and we had some opinions about whether that should, you know, what the impacts of that grocer might be on existing businesses in the area, and that should be further discussed. And then wayfinding and public art in the area, there was some discussion about the wayfinding being kind of out of date in both of the focus groups and needing improvement.
Could I ask a quick question on the the connection of 35th and the park? That, of course, it needs to include OMSI, and did anyone mention that specifically, that OMSI would have to be a partner in working a trail across their property or between the two properties?
Not in the focus groups, but I think we're going to want to include that on our implementation considerations when we're thinking about that connection. Also, the entire connection is not within the boundary, so there'd have to be a partnership with the state park. You can get up to your boundary, but you probably can't invest outside of it. But people also don't have the boundary memorized. All right, so moving into potential projects. This is all outlined in the memo pretty methodically. We put together 5 prioritization criteria and helping to think through the projects. The first one is kind of a threshold question. Can the agency award the project by 2025? If the agency can't make that happen, it needs to fall off the list, because this is a list of near-term projects that needs to happen in the next 3 years. The second one is, would the project necessitate a substantial amendment? That is connected to the first one, because amendments take time and effort, and the projects that we looked at, all of them had to at least at first pass meet this or pass this goal, basically. But the city is going to need to check with its attorney and look at the project list again. The third one is, does the project align with objectives from the 1983 urban renewal plan? We wanted to make sure that each project met at least one of those objectives. And there's a matrix in that memo in your packet that includes kind of our assessment there. And then the fourth is the investment priorities that we talked about at our last meeting, that kind of look at how have conditions changed and what are priorities in the community. We also tested these in our survey, and they resonated with people, these investment priorities, because the original urban renewal plan doesn't talk about multimodal investments, doesn't talk about resiliency. So the investment priorities talk about those. And then the fifth was, how much community support did the project receive? This is still ongoing. We still have a survey that we have to do. We started talking about projects in each of the focus groups, but we are still doing this assessment. So now I'm gonna go through,
Emily, sorry, I didn't have my mic on. This is CM. I have a question. A couple of years ago, when the city was undertaking the Vision 2040, there was an extraordinary amount of public feedback. And when you ask questions, three and four about investment priorities and objectives, and then number 5 about community support, is there any consideration or overlay with a lot of the feedback that came in the surveying about like what do we want for our community? Has there been any overlay of like what Vision 2040's the actual concrete suggestions that came through in that?
Eric, I feel like we talked about this early on in the project, but we didn't do a specific analysis of that in our last project concept memo, but it probably is worth revisiting.
We certainly can connect some of the Vision 2040 priorities to these different projects so you see that.
I want to clarify. I don't mean the priorities, because I think that priorities and what we have on the plan is generalist, but there's a lot of concrete suggestions that came out of a lot of the public sessions.
Okay, I'd have to pull through that, go look into that background information. We did pass along the Vision 2040 documents, but I don't know if that ECHO received all of the appendices. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, I think it would be good to cross-check and see which of them, there probably are ones that overlap just because people are talking about the same investments that they'd like to see. But that's a good point that we should take a look through those. Okay. So now I'm going to go through each of, we kind of grouped the projects that you have in your packet into a couple of different, where's the mic? There. Okay. So at the 20th meeting, we're going to talk a lot about this 35th site and the concepts that are kind of coming together for that. In general, we're looking at things like a grocery store and micro restaurants, and we're also looking at another concept that has a general merchandiser and kind of what that would mean for the multimodal path network and how it connects, how people can connect between the different destinations. There's another project that we have written up in there that is really focused on providing assistance to industrial property owners along US 101 that are outside of city limits and getting them into the city by providing SDC waivers or, you know, subsidies for the SDCs. But that project could also include help with other needs that they might have, like infrastructure or other pre-development needs, based on conversations that we would have with them.
Yeah, I would just add that the concept there would be that urban renewal would open a window. There'd be a window within which some of those unincorporated pockets of industrial land, those owners could voluntarily come into the city, and in exchange, the urban renewal agency would basically pay their SDCs for their existing site improvements, potentially also pay for the expense of annexing those pocket areas to get them in, the benefit being to the city, then they get added to the tax rolls moving forward. This is something the Planning Commission in particular has emphasized a desire to see a normalization of the city's boundaries in South Beach, and this would help accomplish that, which then makes it easier to provide services in a more cost-effective manner.
So this is just a photo of the intersection improvement that you probably all have seen yourselves, and how the 35th site can help to capitalize on really becoming the gateway to the South Beach area. There's another collection of projects that's focused on non-transportation oriented infrastructure. C&D would focus on providing sewer infrastructure and fire suppression infrastructure to support new development at the airport. I believe you had a longer conversation at your last meeting about the options for the sewer infrastructure. There's in the write-up, we've talked about moving forward with the lowest cost option if possible. And if that's not possible, there's another option that would be available depending on the suitability of the soils at the airport. And then Derek and Public Works is looking into the fire suppression, improving the fire suppression infrastructure, and whether you can do that through like existing, you know, a valve and an existing meter, or if you need to do more intensive improvements to that.
Can I interrupt you just for a second? This is Ryan. Sure. I thought we're still not sure. I haven't been given a document that shows that we have enough users on that line to make that extension and have it function. Spencer, do we have a definitive up or down on that? Because this has come up a million times, and the question has never been clear to me that there's enough people, and we don't have a proven buy-in from those two HOA communities over there on the west side of the highway, that there's no, is there a list of people that want on?
Yeah.
And then what is the minimum flow number of single-family homes or industrial properties? We kind of need to get that before we just go on and on about this.
No, as part of this project, they have identified other alternatives to that, and they are not recommending the sewer construction at this point, but that's something that I'm sure they will get into here shortly. So,
great, thanks.
Yeah, the two options would be a large septic system with a drain field basically in between the runways, and the other would be a package treatment plant. So the two highest priority options, the sewer gravity lines, they priced out just too high, and we wouldn't have any confidence that we would have enough effluent to make at least one of those options work. So those two options, the gravity lines, have kind of fallen down as lower priorities, and this on-site septic system, a very large one, or a package treatment plant have kind of risen to the top.
And then the final project.
So that is one of the things that will be, I think, addressed for good, as long as for good is, you know, going forward based on this plan.
Right, because a lot of times it's come up as a council goal over the last few years, and I just want to make sure that it's definitively not penciling out currently. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think I think this whole process will clearly define where we're going on the wastewater.
It was a timing issue as well, of whether you'd be actually be able to make that investment by 2025, timing and cost.
Ryan, can I ask something?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if in one of the projects, maybe, you know, is it, you know, I'm thinking that the traffic is one of the biggest part, but I'm wondering if someone share about, you know, maybe seeing like a park and commute, like having parking and commute in the future. I know that it's a big problem, you know, sometimes during traffic time, but I just kind of wondering if someone talk about parking lot and commute, bus transportation.
You mean like a park and ride?
Yeah, park and ride.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking at the objectives of the plan and thinking about kind of urban renewal in Oregon and some of the provisions around parking and whether, you know, I think Lorelei can talk a little bit more about that and also the benefits to area residents. I don't know too much about your transit system. Maybe Derek has more to say about that, about kind of why that.
Well, we didn't hear I'll much stop about you there. There isn't much to it, if that's what you're asking.
Just on the point of park and ride, it's generally not considered to be best practice to use urban renewal dollars for those kinds of public investments that don't directly contribute to the growth of the tax base. So just thinking about it with the urban renewal hat on and the economic development objectives of urban renewal dollars, those generally don't float to the top as being the kinds of projects that would be appropriate to use and in fact might open you up to some challenge from overlapping taxing districts around whether it's an appropriate use or not. Not to say that it's not a fantastic project idea, but might be one that would be better funded with different funding sources other than urban renewal.
Just wanted the final project that was in this grouping is the redundant pipeline across Shaquinna Bay. What we have in the project sheet for the memo is a $750,000 match as what would be required for the FEMA grant that the city is pursuing that the Urban Renewal Agency would be providing. And that is directly related to making sure that everybody on South Beach has enough water in case of a earthquake or in case of line failure. And I think, Derek, you are actively working on that grant application, right? I know that you've
been Chris is actually taking the lead on that one from engineering, but we do coordinate on that. Yeah,
yeah, and we do have an application on the regular council meeting to pursue emergency funding for that project.
Yeah.
So there's two placemaking projects. We sort of divided the multimodal pathway into two projects. One of them is focused on the placemaking improvements, so wayfinding, gateways, public art, those types of pieces, landscaping improvements, removal of invasive species. And the second one is actually related to the pavement itself and the crossings themselves. So you'll see in G, in the project sheet, there's a detailed list of all the possible trail segments and an evaluation of which ones. In our initial evaluation, I think there's actually a map in this PowerPoint. Yeah, this is an initial evaluation based on some criteria that we put together of which ones could move forward and some cost estimates for each of those. Some of the criteria we were looking at here was, does it provide connections to jobs or to households? And does it not purely have a recreational focus? So for example, the jetty path has come up in some of our public conversations. And it's a community priority. It's something that you could invest in, but it really has a recreational focus. And so in our initial evaluation, we have not prioritized it. And there's some other connections here as well that are kind of in that bucket of Coho Brandt. I think there's been some earlier conversations about adding sidewalks there, and that one we have not also prioritized, but all of this is still preliminary for urban renewal funding. So this is the sort of peninsula, and then this is the core US 101 area. I'm sorry, this is pretty grainy. So some of the key connections that are moving up right now are the connection to South Beach State Park, really completing that loop. Sidewalks along 35th Street to complete the sidewalk network there, and then a bike path, multimodal path along 40th Street to connect with the existing multimodal path up to Wilder. That would help all the people living and going to school up here make it down to the rest of the area safely along 40th Street. This map also shows some of the key rest areas that would be along the multimodal path. So one could potentially be on the agency's opportunity site. The others could be up by Rogue, where there's existing parking. And then in the aquarium overflow lot is another potential opportunity to put a restroom and kind of sign the parking as like, this is the pathway access point, because that doesn't seem, it's an overflow lot. So it does get used as overflow sometimes, but it's often empty and could be an opportunity to provide parking for people accessing the network, the path networks there. We have a couple projects that we looked at for transportation. One is a traffic signal at 40th Avenue. I definitely had to wait at that traffic signal on our tour and saw how hard it is to turn left onto Highway 101. The other two are transportation access to the East Airport properties. There's a couple of different alignments the city has looked at. And then there's also a potential traffic signal that we've talked about. I think the city even has a cost estimate for it at 50th that would serve industrial properties in that area.
Can I ask a question about that? So
sure.
I wouldn't necessarily be in support of signalizing that intersection at 50th until we get that easement to loop Harborton up and around through the sewer plant, or just outside of it. That'd be a pretty major investment, but it would provide a bypass and make Wilder not a dead end street. So for the college and other user groups, I think it'd be good to at least price out what that easement might be and see what initially a gravel street with the dust abatement going out and around down to 50th would be, and try that for a number of years prior to signalizing the intersection. Yeah. I think without the easement, there's no point to put the signal in there.
Yeah, and that's with our initial assessment of the 50th intersection as well, is that it didn't seem like it was the ripest of the investment priorities that you'd want to make right now, that there's a couple other things that need to happen, more development, the alignment you just talked about. But it was on the list of projects that we looked at. And so our initial analysis that we've done so far is the memo that you saw. Does the project meet the key preliminary criteria? We've been working on that. And then we're still, community outreach is ongoing, and we're looking for your input on the survey, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then we're going to be looking at costs and refining costs and thinking about how those align with the revenue projections that Tiberius Solutions is going to be putting together. All the point to which is to get to a final prioritized project list. Right now, it's like we have a good list, but we need to run it through more filters and kind of see where things land and get your input on it as well. So this is our full list of projects.
Hi, this is Aaron. On cost, wherever applicable, it'd be great to see ongoing maintenance cost factored in, even just listed, whether or not it can be funded through this or not. It just seems like we end up getting facilities and don't always have that number when we start out.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we should talk with Chris and with other folks at the city and talk and see about that. Specifically, a lot of the like potential public facilities you'd be putting in along the multimodal path, you can put in a beautiful bathroom, but it has to be maintained. And what's the city's capacity to do that? What's the cost? So this is the full list of projects that we looked at so far, and our initial memo has this. Two of them got taken off, I and J. Because those properties are unlikely to be developed in the near term, so it doesn't seem to make sense that you'd need to put a transportation connection into them right now. And then the traffic signal for the reasons we just discussed. Okay, any comments on that last round of projects?
Well, I got a question on this potential projects page. Do you want us to rank these ourselves and tell that information to you, or is that going to be done at a later point once we have cost estimates?
I think we have the survey, which we're going to go through. It might be great. It might be good for you all to fill out that survey, and we can just get your results and put those into a spot. I think we should talk about how we prioritize these after this meeting, after you have a chance to review the memo. Right now, I would say my reflection on the outreach we've heard so far is that in the community, I'm not hearing that people are like saying they love all of the infrastructure improvements at the airport. I'm really hearing from the community that they want to see these placemaking improvements, like pet improvements and retail concepts. And so it's up to the agency to balance its priorities for job creation and for attracting development at the airport. Any other comments on this? Okay, not. Oh,
sure. Deepmar has a question.
So a couple months ago, we leased out about 10 acres at the airport. How does that fit into your category as far as airport investment? As we're trying to get more investment at the airport and prioritizing projects, it looks like you scratched the airport off. And I know that it's important to get some additional water and sewer out there, but the airport isn't going to get developed unless we get some additional facilities out there. So maybe Derek, you can answer that. How does that fit into this development plan, Derek?
Sure. There are a couple of projects that are airport specific that are relevant here. Plus, we did factor in the anticipated amount of effluent that would come off that 10-acre industrial site, along with what would be contributed from the animal shelter property, and then a reasonable amount of growth in the airport compound proper to come up with our effluent estimate. And that was used to inform the different options we were looking at for how we would accommodate that demand. And we can accommodate it with a large septic system or a package treatment plant, both of which, that project could end up being a prioritized project. And then that 10-acre site would just pump up to the septic system. So they'd have to pump uphill a little bit, but it's very doable, and that would not be cost prohibitive. The other has to do with dealing with fire suppression capabilities. That's number D here. I'm working with Chris right now, to see whether or not that inner tie can be automated to address what is principally a fire flow issue on the north side of the airport, although we may have some issues on the south side as well. We've done some work on the south side to improve flow down there. But the concept with D may be to just simply automate the inner tie with seal rock, such that if there's a significant drawdown on a hydrant on the north side or south side, that's picked up at the inner tie and the valves are open to compensate. And then that amount that's transferred is metered and addressed that way. That might be the most efficient way to deal with it, as opposed to trying to install a tank, at the airport to supplement fire suppression. So those are the two key pieces of infrastructure that would address kind of the long-term needs for water and sewer at the airport, which is really what's needed to address, to facilitate industrial development down there.
on the western side, I think. Eastern properties.
Right on the west side of the airport, correct, which is you know, where we have the lease for the 10 acres for industrial development and the animal shelter. The east side is you know, that's a longer-term proposition.
Yeah, that's the only thing that came off was exploring the east side access issues. Water and wastewater are part of the ones that are still on the list. So
is that going to, Urban Renewal can fund those, you think?
Yeah, that's going to be a decision Urban Renewal will have to make as part of this final plan for the expenditure of the funds. So it's definitely in the mix of what the Urban Renewal Agency will be considering as part of that final plan to bring us to the conclusion of this district.
And then it comes back to Ryan's question. Is the council going to prioritize this, or is somebody else going to prioritize this?
Well, I think through the process we're going through, there's going to be a further outreach to the public to address that. But ultimately, it'll be the Urban Renewal District that will make a final decision on these priorities.
Which ones we want to fund and which ones we
don't. It's kind of the same issue we always face with fun stuff versus not fun stuff. everyone's all gung-ho about fun stuff. But there's real critical things we need to do, to deal with basic infrastructure issues. And I think the balance of that decision will come down to the Urban Renewal Agency as far as how you want to spend those remaining funds. But this is critical public input to kind of understand where the public's at on some of these items as well. That'll help inform the agency's decision.
Thanks.
Yeah, I would just add to what Spencer said. I think what Echo Northwest is trying to do, in addition to the public input, is to kind of outline how well each of these different project concepts align with the Urban Renewal Plan, which is a legal requirement in addition to, a policy call, so that you have all of the tools you need to decide, where at the end of the day some of these should land. So if projects come out, across the board, across all the categories is high, then it's a strong linkage, but that doesn't mean that project has to happen at the expense of, say, something that comes across as a medium priority. If you feel as an agency that medium priority project needs to be bumped up. So you'll have what you need to kind of assess whether or not you need to make adjustments at the end of the day. That's what our objective is here.
The only thing I would add, thank you for all of that, Derek, but the only thing I would add is that the final piece of the puzzle is how much money do you actually have to spend? And we have a pretty good understanding of that right now, but are in the process of completing some additional tax increment finance projections so that we know exactly what that looks like. So right now, I'm sure you have a preliminary sense of where your priorities lie, but I would anticipate that you might be able to do many of the things on this list. So we'll come back to you with all of the final pieces in place. And today really just want to take your temperature to make sure there's nothing major missing, or to see if there's anything that feels like it's going astray in the framework that we're putting together to help you to make decisions down the road.
Mm-hmm. You missed the portion of including a new US 101 bridge.
Okay. Well, I don't think that meets the key criteria of being done by 2025.
Four lanes with bicycle lanes on both sides and nice sidewalks.
Easy. And a nice signs all over the place.
We can probably put up the sign for it.
Yeah, make a nice sign. So I was going to go through the survey number 2. That we've got and talk about next steps. And then I think it would be good to answer Lorelei's question, kind of once you hear all this, is this feeling like we're moving in the right direction? And are there questions that are still in your head about about some of the specific projects? So the third number 1 was looking really at more of a high level, like what are your priorities for the area? What are the challenges you see in the area? Survey number 2 is getting into a list of projects and is asking people to prioritize different groups of projects and prioritize different alignments for the multimodal paths, for example. So it's getting more specific. So you will have that data as you're making your final, as you're reading the plan and thinking about whether you want to adopt it, you'll have all of that data to support it. So we are looking at we're giving people a choice of, you had 100% of the money, what percent would you allocate to the different categories? We're also talking about the uses for the 35th site, and you'll be seeing some of the concepts that are coming through for that. We're going to include some of those concept diagrams in the survey. We want to rank the bike ped improvements, talk about the wayfinding in public art, not necessarily because urban renewal needs to inform exactly what that would be, but it would be helpful for your public arts committee and others that would be implementing the public art to have some initial input. And then thinking about gateways, both the northern gateway by the bridge and then the southern gateway south of the 35th site are kind of the locations that we've been thinking about and getting some input about what people want to see at those gateways. Anything that else you'd want to know from the community to help you inform your decisions? I'm hearing nothing.
I think overall, I think you know, they've done a pretty good job of really looking at realistic projects that are important going forward. And the key at this point is, you know, to make sure that we haven't missed something that's really very critical in the minds of everyone as far as how these funds are going to be utilized. Because we have to commit projects by 2025, they have to be completed by 2027. And so that's mm-hmm. kind of the framework that we have. So it's going to be an aggressive period of time in South Beach to get these funds, going, get these projects going. And I think it's really a pretty realistic bunch of projects that have been identified to date to really bring the closure of this district to fruition.
So I understand Eco Northwest and economics, finance, and planning, but Los Angeles isn't in the Northwest, and Boise isn't in the Northwest. You guys have offices there too, huh? Yeah.
We do. The mothership is in Portland, but yeah, it is interesting trying to go after projects in California with a Northwest in our name. There's a lot to do down there, but our mothership is Portland, where we have about 35 employees.
Yeah, well, I guess we're ready to wrap things up, unless you have any final closing comments.
Yeah, just the next step. So the survey is going to be open September 20th. We're going to release it right after the next meeting until October 17th. We'll have our briefing where we'll talk about the 35th site and finance and implementation. And then you should look for a plan to review in October and November. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions for the consultants or Derek?
That was really good presentation.
Thank you so much, folks. I think we're going to call it a day here for this portion of the meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
I'll go ahead and close the urban renewal meeting.
That's how you hit that thing.
I needed a trainer.
Have you killed Grant?
So,
don't worry about Zoom. But,
do you think we will have a full room?
No, we're going to come out.
We're done.
Are we on a break?
Yep.
You, sir, are released.
Options, are they open?
Yeah.
7667.
Hey, Spencer.
Thank you for the link, by the way. I got a follow-up ENT thing.
Goodbye.
Yes.
Okay.
Quasi-judicial. Yeah.
That's fine. I just want to be.